Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
We have Kevin Boris and we have Mark Hendricks.
We do.
In the studio.
Hello. Hello.
It's nice to see you both.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How are you?
Likewise.
I've done many a show with you two individually, with various other people.
Never together.
Never together.
So what kind of partnership? I want to think, you know, what have we got? If we were to like
Cagney and Lacey?
I mean, I was thinking more football.
I don't know how to take that.
Cagney and Lacey's fine. I'll go for that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That did not go the way I thought it would. You've thrown me off somewhat.
Well, there you go. This is gonna be a fun hour and a half. How many more times can we throw you right off the tracks?
If anyone has any other better suggestions than Cagney and Lacey for my studio duo this evening, please do get in touch at Lovesport Radio.
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch. Although one Hooch is a
dog. I'll be the dog.
Okay. That's fun.
Woof. Right.
I mean, you keep throwing me.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what to do now.
You're a big lad. I can't throw you that far.
That's fair enough. I've been off for a week.
Not with a broken arm.
I've been
not
away. It's been a little bit strange. Kevin, you here the last week I was here? You
yes,
were.
I was.
We had a theory that every time I wasn't here, Wimbledon won.
Yep.
Didn't quite manage it.
No.
So maybe it wasn't about me after all.
You weren't here last week. Were the week before when we beat Scunthorpe.
We beat Scunthorpe last week.
You weren't here.
I'm saying now I haven't got 100% record.
Oh, you don't? No. You've got 100% record insofar that we don't lose.
Unbeaten.
Yeah.
We'll hold on to that. I have an unbeaten record.
Yes. So go home now. we'll take over. You can just go now.
Unfortunately, I have to be here now because my mum doesn't pick me up until
10 p.m.
Yes,
of course.
I have to stay now until the end. I'm not really getting picked up by my mum, just in case anybody thinks that I am.
Well, that's quite a nice thought.
Was it your mother-in-law?
It's neither. I do not have one of those, I'm afraid. Sorry, Mark.
I'm not going to...
Just upset me now. Just reminded me of my lonely existence. It's nice though, isn't it? Getting picked up by your parents.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Do you, Mark, you're a father and doing those school trips these days. Do you ever think that in years to go, when your little ones are all grown up, they'll think, oh, "I wish Dad was still taking me places."
I hope only to the football. I hope that's the only thing.
Because the only thing I say is, I remember as a child, my mum taking me everywhere, my dad, and you know, you just take it for granted, don't you? And you know, when you go home and your mum does your washing and cooks your dinner,
the
and
best
takes
thing
it
in the world when you get your first driving license.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I lived in Norfolk in the sticks, so I had to do just to go to school in the mornings. I had a half an hour walk to the bus stop, and then it was another half an hour drive just to the closest town to go to school.
Wow.
So the moment I turned 16 years old, I got a moped, and as soon as I turned 17 years old, I learnt to drive.
Well, there you go.
And now I wish.
And now you're in the driving seat of a radio station.
I mean, someone's behind the wheel.
Wally's behind the wheel.
Yes, he is behind the wheel. So talk about football.
Let's talk about football, yeah.
Let's talk about football. So, you are still unbeaten. Tell us the story of your game yesterday.
Go on, Mark.
Thank you.
I thought you're breathing in and about to speak.
Yeah,
oh,
I think...
Sorry,
I think,
Nick has tweeted in already, was listening. Cheers for that. Yes, he is not a... Oh, no, it's WrestleMania. We've banned, banned wrestling.
Banned wrestling. Banned
I'm going to have to
wrestling.
Mute Nick's tweets.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just mute the word WrestleMania.
And Nick.
Just don't mention it again.
Yes, producer David. No. Yes, you know, we're a wrestling fan. Let's talk about football. Story of the game, please, Mark. Well, it's taken us 7 minutes to get to this point. It's a good job we've got an extended show this evening, isn't it?
It's an extender. I think, again, we were fantastic for about 30 minutes, give or take.
Yeah.
I think we could have cruised to win that match if it wasn't for one silly mistake by Callum Bailly. His back header was really weak. No power behind it to give it back to Ramsdale. And I forget who scored for them.
Clark.
Clark.
Ninth of the season, Sky Sports tells me.
Okay. to be honest, I think Accrington is only really a one-man team, and that's Billy Key. Anywho, I think with that back header, I think it was a big mistake. It's a real shame. But had that not happened, I think we would have cruised to 3 points. I really do. Yeah. I think they pose no real difficulty to us whatsoever. It's a shame. It's a real shame that we didn't get the 3 points. But according to Quest, and other highlight shows are available, Quest, they said that out of the bottom four, we were the only team to gain a point. So that's
it's a point
the
gained.
Positive.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I consider the match as 2 points lost, personally, because of the fact that Accrington really were nothing to write home about.
Accrington, an interesting one. Because they started the season very, very well, didn't they?
They did.
And they were receiving lots of plaudits, and rightly so. Yeah. They are in their first season as well, back into League One. They are. But now they find themselves very much in trouble, in free-for-all.
Everyone's got their number now. Mm. They know how they're going to set up. They know that Billy Key is their main man. So they've got, you know, just nullify him, you nullify the whole of the attack of Accrington. And that has been since Christmas.
Yeah. Kevin, is that how you saw it as such? Billy Key, cancel him out, and there isn't a lot else to their side?
They're a very, very average team. One of the worst teams I've seen all season. They just did nothing. Didn't deserve to go level. Certainly didn't deserve to take the lead. And obviously they didn't, but had they done. The penalty that was given for them was just horrific. We'll talk about the referee later on. But it's such a terrible decision. If you've ever seen it, if he's not seen it on TV, Scott Wagstaff collects the ball, he's about to clear it, and their player runs into the back of him, falls over and gets a penalty. Extraordinary decision, especially when the referee had already booked that player for diving. But in the course of yesterday's game, there's three players booked for diving. In a League One game, I've not seen that. It may not be a record. I've never seen three players booked for diving. And they were all correct, to be fair. Even our one was correct. The goal, it was, we were completely on top. It wasn't even a good bit of play by Accrington. Yeah, if they score a great goal then, out of the blue, then fair enough. But it was a really, really poor goal. It came from a throw that they were given. I wasn't even sure it was their throw, and the guy was it their throw? But he took it from an entire advertising board's length further up the pitch and should have been. Paul Callan by trying to clear it and just hammered it straight in the air. Chased after it, the attempt to head it a clear, but he headed it back up in the air again. Will Nightingale misjudged the bounce of Callan by for the third time, went and headed it, and then headed it back to the Aaron Ramsdale, as Mark correctly said, and then it fell short. But he was really good. In the hour he was on the pitch, Callan by was really, really decent, I thought, and then made those three mistakes in the space of 10 seconds, and that turned the game. We did the same against Gillingham. Took an early-ish lead and then got pegged back and ended up losing 4-2. We would have been 4-1 down at one point. That, I have feared yesterday would have been the same. It's just that if they'd scored that penalty, I think that would have been a massive kick in the teeth.
Yeah, but all we can do is say, well, we've nullified Billy Key on that front as well. He missed. I have not seen such a poor penalty. Actually, at Kings Meadow.
It was
a
couple yards wide, wasn't it?
It was a very few couple wide.
Anthony Wordsworth reminded him that it was not a great penalty, as he walked away. But it was just that was a crucial few minutes. I think I'm not saying we would have crumbled, because that's not fair on the psychology of the team, but you could have seen in the bottom four, you've got to win, at least not lose, and to go 2-1 down for an undeserved goal through a mistake and an undeserved penalty that never was, that's a real difficult thing to take. And fortunately we came round. We could have won. James Hansen had missed a chance on about an hour.
He
chipped it wide. It's close, but that
was his wrong foot as well.
That was
his
wrong foot. Yeah, his head is his best foot, isn't it? it was one of those games that you end up at the end. You think, oh, we should have won that game. We really should have won. We needed to win. By the time you've got back to the car, you think actually it wasn't the worst point when you see the other results come in.
Absolutely.
And we've actually gained a point and we've gained a place.
You see, with me looking at the results coming in, I was not a happy bunny, because I didn't look at the results until way after our final whistle.
Yeah.
Up until, well, about minutes 85 or so, the results weren't really going our way.
No.
And that's where I was just
doom and gloom.
But we're very fortunate out of the whole situation.
Yep. No, yeah. There is lots. There is lots to be positive about. AFC Wimbledon fans, I hope you're aware of the slight schedule change this evening and you are tuned in. I know I've already lost one listener.
Fans listening.
We've told lots of people on social media.
Good.
Told me it was at 7 o'clock.
But we've lost one listener because I've banned Watford and Wrestling Talk. So okay. Nick is now not listening.
Okay.
But other AFC Wimbledon fans, if you are listening this evening, please do get in touch. What did you make of the result yesterday? Where do you think that kind of leaves you with regards to the remaining fixtures? I mean, I've had a look at them. I think relatively favourable in comparison to others. I think there's lots to be very much positive about. So yeah, if you want to send us a tweet this evening at Love Sport Radio, we'll give us a ring. 0208 7020 558. Just a reminder, we are on an extended schedule change show this evening with Cagney and Lacey in the studio, 7 until 8.30. This is Love Sport Radio and it's the AFC Wimbledon fan show.
Who's Cagney?
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
So Nick is saying he's literally not listening.
He's literally.
How does he know if I'm confused? He is listening.
I think he is. I think he's saying.
How does he
he's
know
not...
that I've just called him out for you him then to message you to say he's not listening?
He's literally.
I'm confused.
He's lying.
This is multimedia experience.
He's lying.
It's doing my head in. I can't work it out.
I mean, why would Nick message Mark to say he's not listening if he doesn't?
It wasn't just me. It was to the whole group.
Oh, was it? Okay.
If he's not aware that I've said on air that he's not listening, it's pretty.
Why
strange coincidence.
I think we should personally. It's your show.
No, it's your show.
Well, be you're the presenter. I think we should move on from that because it's confusing me.
Okay, Nick is listening. By the way, he is listening. And if he says he's not listening, he's lying.
If that's okay.
Hi, Stu.
Yes. Anyone else from that 9 years you'd like to give a shout out to?
Marco,
George will be listening.
George.
Apparently, George has been sacked.
Yes, he was sacked yesterday.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had to reinstate him just to sack him again.
He was only sacked for about 8 minutes, but that's quite long.
Yeah.
He's often an instant reinstatement.
Yeah.
Okay. So from the game itself, let's talk about Piggott.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Because I was just saying on the show previously when I was teeing up this one, I found it a little bit interesting with regards to Joe because he started the season on fire and then he went quiet for a long time. Well, certainly in regards to goals anyway. I mean, obviously you guys see the 90 minutes and he was playing more often than not. So I'd suggest that even though he wasn't scoring, you're still offering more than the other strikers. But as of late, he's been back in goal scoring form and been particularly good. How good has he been?
He's been a lot better.
Yes.
Yeah. You're right. He started the season really well. He had that mid-season dip, and there are a number of reasons given that we believe that he had that mid-season dip. When he came back, he was injured as well. And when he came back, it just didn't seem right. As if he'd been rushed back, he couldn't jump. He seemed that he'd lost his strength. Now, he had been ill a couple of times during the season. Whether he had some kind of virus that had affected his strength, entirely possible. But the last five, six games, he's been really, really good, really strong, scored goals, made chances. He's actually gone out. He spent the last 15 minutes out wide yesterday in a 4-3-3 with James Hansen in the middle. He's worth, at some point, you're going to think maybe he's not worth persevering with because he has spent so much of his career playing non-league football and you're not quite sure whether he's got it. I think he's proved the last few weeks that he has.
I think he's much better with his feet than he is jumping up as a target man.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's not a target man. He's just know, because he's 6'2" does not mean you're a target man.
He is
man.
Quite literally the words are failing.
Say it in German, Mark. What's it in German?
I don't even know it in German.
He is
quite literally the perfect picture of the Spike Lee titled film White Men Can't Jump.
You're thinking the word epitome.
Epitome, thank you.
Thank you.
Epitome.
I knew that word.
Yeah, it's a good word.
Next time, put your hand up.
White men can't jump.
Damn.
Yeah, he's not great.
But yeah, he's not good at jumping. Unfortunately, he's not good he's good at holding up the ball, but as long as it's by his feet, he's got the skills to get past players. There's no questions asked. So I think him working off Hansen was quite surprising. I didn't know what to really make of it. I didn't see the match. I didn't go up to Scunthorpe, but I saw obviously the highlights and I saw how well they played off one another. And beginning of the season, I would never have thought of Piggott and Hansen as a reasonably good pairing, let alone a good pairing. But I think they are very good. They do complement each other in a very good way. And it's a bit strange not to see a small little zippy striker next to a target man like Hansen, but to see a bulky, quite reasonably strong forward to work off Hansen.
They're about physically, Joe Piggott and James Hansen are roughly the same size, but they play completely different styles. Joe Piggott does play like a smaller player. So if you wonder what we're laughing, we're just watching.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, yes. There's a TV.
I laughed at the screen and then I realised I distracted both of you.
Yeah, no, we wonder what there was watching on Sky Sports News. We had the channel on, and then a Coventry fan caught the ball and fell down some seats, knocking another fan over. That was very funny.
Yes,
sorry,
it was.
I'm distracted too.
I really shouldn't.
But
get
Joe
distracted.
Piggott does shouldn't not play like a 6'2" striker. He plays like a much smaller player. But he was excellent yesterday. He held the ball up brilliantly with his feet. Maybe there's now a T-shirt
No, stopping you right there. Let's not talk about the T-shirt because of...
Oh, that's true, yeah. I'm not a fan of it.
Is there a reason we can't have them? Mark doesn't want to.
No, it's just...
Because I want to know now. You can't do that. Because
I'll show
you
a picture of the T-shirt.
Briefly.
Okay. And then if I decide that I want to talk about it, can I?
Yeah, of course can, yeah. But
Thanks, Mark.
It's all right. I've got waste bin.
I don't know who designed it, but it's... Yeah, it because his nickname is Pigs, or Paul Pig.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's move on. But I that pairing did work. It would have been nice if we could have had Hanson and Pickett together up front for most of the season.
I mean, it feels like we stumbled on this a little bit because we felt like we'd written off Hanson. And then again, of recent weeks, we've kind of been sat here raving about Falivi, saying what a positive impact he has been. And now we've got Pigott and Hanson. And
I honestly believe that Falivi was going to somehow come onto the pitch yesterday if there wouldn't have been the injury to Seddon. Which forced...
Yeah, he was warming up a lot. For the last 20 minutes, he was warming up a lot. But Steve Seddon's injury sort of was a bit of a... That was the bigger... To me, that was the biggest cloud over yesterday, other than the actual cloud over the ground for most of the game, was Steve Seddon's injury. I mean, we'll talk about Accrington's gamesmanship. I liked Accrington. When we beat them, they seemed very... And we went up. They seemed very gracious. They seem like a nice bunch of people. The fans are very pleasant. I like the chairman, Andy Holt, the chairman. Big fan of his. I'm not on Twitter particularly, you know, but I've seen tweets of him. He seems like a decent guy. I like Andy Holt. I like the club. I like how Accrington have managed to get to League One in such a tiny budget. But I kind of lost a lot of respect for their players yesterday.
I think that was
a horrible performance.
Yeah, but I think John Coleman's done that, and I don't want this to become about Accrington.
Yeah.
But I think John Coleman's done that to stop the rot of what Accrington are going through.
Yes, I'm sure he has.
He's turned them into a Gareth Ainsworth team Mark II.
Yes.
Fall over at every
last
opportunity.
I would not want to watch Accrington versus Wickham.
Oh, my.
That's not... Are they playing each other?
Yes, I was going to have a look now.
No, they're
Accrington,
not.
No, they are not. No. You're in luck.
Yeah, no. That was not a game I would want to watch. Because you wouldn't have to look very far, because you just look at the ground, because the players would be rolling around. They made so much of challenges. James Hanson was booked for making three aerial challenges in the game, and yet he had his shirt ripped off his back.
Yeah.
Anthony Wordsworth actually literally had his shirt ripped off, unless he did it himself at a corner. They just got away with so much, and that's not... You would not normally associate that kind of tactic with Accrington. And I lost a bit of respect for them. John Coleman seemed to be refereeing the game. I thought the referee had a terrible game, but the actual referee, Neil Hare, was awful. But John Coleman refereed that game yesterday. He did. They had a couple of players on the pitch. Sykes, they're extraordinarily tall centre-half. He was about 6'8", but with the face of a child. That was quite strange.
Yeah, it was very.
Him and I think it was Keneally, the captain, were refereeing the game. But John Coleman was at the fourth official for the entire match. And eventually it gets to you. As a human being, it must get to you. Mm. We don't have players that surround the referee. Now Danny Bullman's gone. What a great goal by Danny Bullman for Crawley yesterday. 35-yarder, at the age of 40.
Why did he never do that for us?
He didn't, did he, ever? But scored two in one game once against Accrington. Anyway.
Nice.
But, no, I lost a lot of respect for Accrington yesterday, and I have little respect for anybody else, really. You respect them. But you look at the table came out last week where they were published the agents' fees spent by clubs in League One or currently in League One.
Yeah.
And Accrington spent £4,000 on agents' fees last season, which is the least in the top six divisions. I mean, Salford spent over £100,000.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they're competing against Sunderland, who spent £2.3 million on agents' fees. I know they're in the same division now, but the fact that they've actually managed to do that is incredible. I think we only spent £63,000. We were sort of 19th or 20th. It's funny. I just think from that one performance, I just lost a lot of interest in them.
We were eighth bottom in League One.
The gamesmanship was awful. The tackle on Steve Seddon was terrible. There's a lot of off the ball stuff that you have to put up with it, I suppose. We're just not very good at that.
No, but it's a learning curve, isn't it? This division, and hopefully at some point you'll win dirty and other fans will lose respect for your football club.
Let's do it at Oxford next week because of their manager. That's the thing.
Yes. It is Love Sport Radio. It's just gone past 7:20, and this is the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Well, welcome back. So, look, people, because things are going a lot better, I can't help but notice my tweets have dried up.
Mm-hmm. You can get cream for that.
Available at all good pharmacies. Yeah.
And some rubbish ones.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I said tweets. It's not a clinical condition. It is a social media platform which you used to use every
correct
single Sunday.
Vowel.
Yeah. Yes. To send me lots of messages on your thoughts of your team, and they've not come in today. Yeah. So why is this?
I think it is. That is why. Mm. I think because if we'd have lost yesterday, that would have been lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
The shows we've done when after we've won, which have been more often lately, there's been less interaction. People are just kind of, I'm quite happy with that. The draw yesterday, it was an unsatisfactory point at the time, but looking at the other results, as I said, things seem to have, could have been a lot worse. People just seemed quite happy.
Just as I was leaving my seat, one gent walking down the stairs, he actually just said, "That's not a bad day at the office." And he was kind of right by saying that. Mm, it's not a bad day.
What I find strange, though, about this kind of, just like TV shows or radio shows, when you talk about a particular football result or fixtures, say, for instance, you take Match of the Day, for instance, you know, I find that if your team wins, you will listen or you will watch, but you haven't got too strong of an opinion about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas if your team loses, you either... I'm so angry that you listen or watch and then you want to have that voice or view heard, or you just don't watch at all.
Well, then why don't we throw a question out to those listeners out there and say that they should tweet in. Yes. Callum Bailly, in or out for the next match?
There we are.
Because of the mistake.
Has his confidence gone?
Let's throw that question out and see what people
say. We've thrown it out there. Callum Bailly, in or out? Kevin, kick us off. What do you think?
He should be in, because he's 18 years old, he made a massive mistake. He knows he made a massive mistake.
Yeah,
it really got to him. But within a few minutes, he was back to his best. I think he's a great prospect for us. I think leaving him out now is kind of almost like punishment. He doesn't deserve punishment. He deserves. Yeah. You made a massive mistake. You cost us. But forget it. Let's move on. And other than that, you were great. I mean, I don't know. If he was 25, 26, maybe leave him out. But it's one bad game. But going back to your early point, I don't think people phone into radio shows to say they like something, do they?
No. No, and that's the thing. For a producer or a presenter to make a radio show when you have some kind of, you know, debate or some kind of anger or some big talking point, they are more interesting for us to make. But with regards to perhaps numbers listening, it'd be fewer because people only kind of want to listen and watch good things. But the numbers are smaller when things are bad. But those people who are, that group, are the ones who want to speak in.
Well, we know people
so there's
are
lots
listening.
Of people listening, but perhaps don't want to have their views
but
heard
my,
this
my,
evening.
My answer would be Callum Bailly stays in. He'd get taken off yesterday after about an hour, but that was a change of formation. I think he just had to be the one that came off. I think he's... great prospect for us if he can play like most like he has done since January. But get the point is he's only been in the first team since January.
Yeah,
it's like his 15th professional.
And this is the thing as well. 18 years old.
He might be 19 now, but he's
a teenager.
Yeah.
When you're coming through though as a footballer, it's so much easier, I think, to throw in a 19-year-old up front and say, look, you know, go, give it a go. Yeah, or a winger. Or a midfielder alongside three other people.
Central defender.
And goalkeeper, as a teenager, are the two hardest positions to play, I think, as a teenager.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, this is kind of Callum Bailly's first proper experience in this first team since January. And he has been a big part of this run of form.
Yeah.
But with central defenders, I think people concentrate on age a lot sometimes when, to a certain degree, it's irrelevant. When it comes to the result at the end, you know, the whole, you know, if you're old enough, you're good enough sort of thing. You know, on a transfer fee, I think age is relevant, but in terms of getting the results, picking your best team, is Callum Bailly better than the rest that you've got right now? Because you've got some other centre-halves. Oshelaja, we've got Nightingale, McDonald, they're all experienced centre defenders.
We've got five. We're currently playing three.
I'm saying, is he playing because he's 18 years old?
No.
Or is he playing because he's better than those other ones?
He's playing because he's one of the three best centre-halves we've got. Terrell Thomas has been unlucky. He's been really decent since he's come back in the side. He's been unlucky not to play. I think Deji's probably the best of them. Deji Oshelaja is probably the best of them when his mind is on it. That's
when
nice
his head hasn't
it.
Been turned.
And last season, fantastic. I'd have put him in the League One Team of the Year. This season, I currently wouldn't put him in our team. I think his head was turned in the summer, had a chance to leave. Got turned down. Obviously, he had a chance to earn a lot more money. Didn't happen. January again, we thought he was going to go, and he got injured in January. Nobody wanted him. I think Deji will go on a free, which is a shame.
I don't think it's a shame. Well, it's a shame financially.
It's a shame financially, yeah. I think Paul Kalambay is playing because he is the biggest, strongest, most no-nonsense defender we've got.
Yeah.
He's not a ball-playing defender.
And that is exactly
center
what
you want
Wally
that
wants.
Kind of yeah.
That's exactly what... And Wally prefers your no-nonsense players.
Yeah. No, he's
that's why he likes Wordsworth so much.
Quite. But the injury to Steve Seddon we're going to mention, I didn't see it. I stand at the back of the Ryegas and I cannot see either of the corners on my side of the pitch. I've never.
Can you not sit somewhere else? Stand somewhere else?
I just like standing there. I'm going to stand on my friend. My friends are all much taller than me, so if they stand further down, then no one can see around.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
No, that's true. So I didn't see the tackle.
I just moved, right? I'm missing something.
I can see most of it. I can see 95% of the pitch.
It's my spot.
I like standing there. Yeah, I kind of feel like attached to that spot now. I've worn a hole in the concrete. But
fits your shoes perfectly.
Didn't see, exactly. I didn't see the tackle. I know he tried to get across in and he got taken out. But from people who were nearer by said that was an awful tackle, really late, took him out. He's got a really nasty gash on his ankle. Now, I feel sorry for Steve Seddon because he's been a fantastic player for us. He's probably been, since January, the best player. Him and Aaron Ramsdale have been fantastic. It is only a gash, though, because we thought he'd broken his ankle. He had an impact injury.
No.
Not like blood.
No. It's not that.
It's a horrible injury if it's a gash.
Don't use that word. There's a word that everyone hates. I hate that word. I don't know why.
So you made a noise and reaction to when I see blood, and I was just presumed it's
all right. Okay, let's wind that back.
The G word.
It's
a
very, very deep and long cut.
Thank you.
Around his ankle bone, caused by somebody's studs. Right. So awful that is. Maybe stitched up. You're going to be out for a lot less, you'd imagine, than if it was a turned ankle or ligaments or muscle injury. I'm hoping. I mean, he was helped along the sideline back to the dugout yesterday. He couldn't stand. He couldn't walk off and then he had ice on it. But after the game, there's a picture of him
stood. You never
walking
know
back
with
to
photos,
his car.
Though.
No,
you never
I know.
Know. He wasn't walking. He was stood posing.
But he was smiling. He wasn't in pain. He wasn't in hospital. Didn't have a cast on. Didn't have a boot on.
When I broke my arm, my kids looked at me and went, "You okay?" I put a smile on and I said, "I'm fine, kids." Yeah. Even though my back teeth were clenched. You know, that's just how it goes.
So, awful tackle though it was, I'm hoping that he's okay for Saturday.
As are we all. Kevin, do you remember the former Cambridge United striker, Barnett, now at Kingsley?
Michael Gash.
Kevin!
Right, that's it.
Right, we'll take a break. Love Sport Radio.
His name
is
not,
show. Bye.
His name gone. Isn't Michael Deepcut.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Okay, welcome back. AFC Wimbledon fan show here on Love Sport Radio. It's weird how these things happen, isn't it? So we've discovered a word that Mark doesn't like.
Yeah.
And Kevin, you have a similar one, begins with,
yes,
with G.
Strange enough, yeah.
It made me think, if there's a word I dislike, I'd go as far as say I hate. Mm. Unfortunately, I do not. I wish I did, because I want to feel part of the crew.
That's right.
You'll think of one by the end of the show, I'm sure.
No,
you
but
have
I can't.
One.
You see, if I can't think of it already, I clearly don't dislike it that much.
There is one that
and
you
I can
just
build
don't
up a,
use.
You know, what's the word? A hatred. A manufactured hatred.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm. That was the word.
That's very university.
It was. It's been a long time. Oh, I've got a tweet.
Oh, good.
Oh, crying out loud, it's Nick again. I thought I'd muted you. I'm back, he says.
Oh, wonderful.
Hello, Nick.
Hi, Nick. And in regards to Kalambay, I think Wally will be wrestling with the decision as to whether to drop him or not next week. Brilliant. You've offered absolutely nothing, Nick. Please stop tweeting in.
He's always wrestling with his own.
Yes, he is. Okay.
Into some kind of mania.
Let's talk about the man of the match, please. No, yep. No.
Some may call it a bliss.
No, right. Come on.
No.
This is just to appease him so he carries
on
listening.
I know, but
anyway.
He's already
man of the match.
Not. Yes.
Steve Seddon got it.
Scott Wagstaff, yeah. Rod McDonald, is it a clear winner for you?
Steve Seddon was given it, and I would agree with it. I think he... Yeah, Scott Wagstaff had an interesting game. I don't know why he played in... Because Scunthorpe game... McLaughlin played, didn't he? Yes, as their one change.
Scunthorpe, yeah, sorry. Yes, sorry, Scunthorpe.
I'm not quite sure why he came... Scott Wagstaff was brought back in. It didn't, you know, whatever.
No, Wally said it in the post-match interview.
Did he?
Yeah, he wanted to play that. Scott Wagstaff because of the fact that one player he was thinking was going to start for Accrington would leave a hole behind the midfield.
Oh, okay.
And Scott Wagstaff would be the person for it.
But, I like that.
And
fair enough.
But Wally actually did say that John Coleman did kind of pull one over him.
Okay.
So he was a bit gazumped with that.
Well, fair enough.
But regardless, he took the chance.
Yeah.
Right? Because
I have no problem with that. I think that's, you know, shows the intelligence of the management that he did put
in. Yeah, but Wagstaff, he's divided opinion, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's my answer.
I mean, there have been people in the studio who said he offers very little. They're saying, I don't know what Scott Wagstaff brings.
He brings a lot of running around. He's our Jack Russell. He is our Jack Russell on the pitch, I think. He's the one who will just chase
down
stuff.
Is it Jack Russell is a headless chicken?
No. He's not. He's got his eyes firmly in place. He knows where the ball's going. He just doesn't quite have... if he would be a quarter faster, he would be just phenomenal.
He's not played that well since the West Ham game, has he?
No, he hasn't played that well.
He was fantastic in that match.
To be honest...
Yesterday was probably his best performance since...
Kevin, nobody's played that well since the West Ham game. No. That was our best performance this whole season, by far.
It was probably our best performance since coming to the league. In the last 7 years. I can't remember. That was just extraordinary.
No, I disagree, actually. I think Accrington away in the playoffs was our best performance.
Yeah, but we were 2-0 down at one point, though, weren't we?
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
But regardless, we were still in it. And it was Pedroia who
There's my word, irregardless. It's not actually a word, but the amount of people that use the word irregardless, it's not a word.
Did you use it?
No. Mark used it.
Okay.
Regardless is the correct word. But irregardless. The amount of people that say it.
Did I say irregardless?
No, you're fine.
I'd never use that word. Irregardless of that point. Pedroia scored an absolute screamer to make it 2-0 for them. But that's my perspective. I was just trying to play devil's advocate. That was the best performance I think that we have done since
West Ham was. But yesterday was Scott Wagstaff's best performance since.
Yeah.
Rob McDonald played very well in two positions yesterday. He played the left side of the three centre backs, and then when Steve Seddon was injured, he played left. He kind of played left wing back for a bit and then left back, and played really well. He's got the pace. He's got the pace and skill, which he doesn't use either of them particularly when he's playing centre half. Doesn't need to.
You see, he reminds me a lot of John Meade. The style of play, you know, those kind of little trickeries,
burst of pace.
Let's call it the League One Cruyff turn kind of style.
How does it differ? I'm intrigued.
It's a bit more gangly less.
Yeah, it's a lot slower.
But it's
effective.
Still, yes, in League One, absolutely. He reminds me of quite a bit of John Meads on that front. He really does, Rob McDonald, Rod.
Yeah, if Steve Seddon is not fit for Saturday, Rob McDonald left
absolutely
wing back,
should.
I would go for that. You play a left-sided midfield player at left wing back.
Yeah,
I think defensively we need to be pretty.
But then who would you do? I mean, the only one that we really have then is Bartram. He hasn't really had a look in for a long time.
It's got to be to me a left-sided in that kind of game away from home against a team who've won 5 in a row. We need a left-sided defender playing that position, as Steve Seddon is. Rob McDonald gets my vote.
I can actually
my vote is worth it.
Really foresee that Wally's going to play a 4-4-2 against Oxford. I don't think he will do the 5-3-2 or the 3-5-2, however you want to see it.
And we are playing in blue at Oxford.
Yeah.
Which is rather bizarre because Oxford have blue shorts and blue. No, they're all yellow now, aren't they?
It's yellow, yep. Then.
Yes,
blue.
Now, no, they're all yellow
is
now.
It all yellow?
Yes, blue Since sleeves. When? This season they have yellow shorts and socks. That's why we can play in blue.
Yeah, they're urinating quite hard because of the fact that they might not have a place to play in next year. So. If they don't pay their.
It's the one.
Their rent.
We change out of our blue kit. Into the black or the yellow on regular occasions. The one time we can actually play. Changing makes sense where we're playing in blue. Anyway, just for those of you who are travelling to Oxford next week, haven't bought a programme, haven't asked anybody, and want
it's
to wear
the
right shirt.
But please do not quote us on this because knowing Rocket, he will probably be listening in and going, oh, you know what, we're going to play in black.
Kits are subject to change, listeners. However, people like to take the right kit. When they go to the away game, they like to take the right shirt.
That's fair enough. Mark, we got Kevin's view on Callum Bailly.
Yes.
I didn't get yours, did I?
No.
Well, come on then.
No, it's okay. You insulted me with that word that I didn't like. No,
I didn't. Kevin said it.
So
I said it.
Callum Bailly, in or out?
Yes, please.
In. The last thing you want to do is knock his confidence. And if you were, let's be realistic here, if Wally was to pull him out, then it would be a kind of a vote of no confidence because of one mistake.
Yeah.
And Wally's astute enough, he's articulate enough, and he's kind enough not to turn around and knock someone's development that hard. He's really good with the younger players. Yeah. We've seen that from the moment he's come in, how the average age has dropped within the club. Mm. What is the average age right now? 22-ish?
22, that's starting 11. Yeah,
yeah, it's 22. Which is crazy. Fantastic.
It's phenomenal,
and
really.
And that shows really the future that we've got. Mm. As long as next season we can bring in Ramsdale and Seddon again, that will help reduce the age.
Playing at devil's advocate, though, because you talk about the faith within young players, which is brilliant, but it's a lot easier to put faith in young players when you feel like you've not got a huge amount to play for. And I think that when Callum Bailey was put in, there was a lot less pressure on Callum Bailey. And I think that has now changed. Do you think that now Wally will be looking at it and thinking, do you know what? 18 years old, or Rod McDonald, or whoever.
You say less pressure. We were rock bottom of the league. What? Because, where is there no pressure there?
Couldn't get any worse. Every single one of us sat here thinking that Wimbledon were relegated.
Yeah.
So if you're ever going to try out new players, it's then. And now, out of, let's be honest, no one would have predicted. I certainly did. I think you'd be lying if you would have said that you'd be in this position.
No, I was sat with Aaron after the Fleetwood match in here, and I was saying to him after the Fleetwood match, that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
Finish, good night.
Exactly.
Vienna, let's build for next season in League Two.
Which is what what we've been doing. We've been playing the kids. We've been building for next season. We're getting rid of various other players who weren't cutting it at the start of the season. But now...
Yeah.
Glass of water?
Yes, Mark? Please. Yes, please.
But now things have changed. Now there is something huge to play for.
Uh-huh.
The prospect of staying in this division, in the new stadium, under Wally Downs, with this group of players, is now really quite exciting.
It is.
Whereas before it was like, well, we'll just start again in League Two and then see where these young players, and where they can take us. So now, is there not an argument to say that Wally will be looking at this squad and Penny picks his team thinking, do you know what, I need to pick the most reliable group of players that I've got as opposed to the ones with the most potential? And Callum Bailey, which one does he fall into? Is he potential? Is he ready right now?
I would love to answer that, but I have another burning question that I would like to put to my esteemed colleague, and that is...
Lacey?
Yeah. Okay, I'm Cagney now.
Okay. Switch roles, I like it. I'm
fine. I'll wear the high
flexible,
heels.
Flexible formation.
Where do you think Wally, Glyn comes into the matter of choosing for the younger players? Because Glyn's got much more of a history of working with the development squads at the Stoke and with
Man
with
City,
Wales as well.
Yeah.
So where do you think? Do you think Wally's been listening to him more about maybe we should blood the younger players?
I think you're probably right. I think it's a team effort with those two. I think it's a real team effort. Yeah. But I think Glyn's,
they've got each other's backs.
Glyn's knowledge of younger players is probably better than Wally's. Wally obviously has not been involved in English football for the last 4 or 5 years because he's been coaching in India. So, I think Glyn Hodges has played a massive role in that. He's very experienced youth coach. He's very well respected. Stead, Stoke, Man City, other clubs he's been at. Not even Forest, of course, Barnsley. And Wales. He brought young players through. And that's... Those young players that have been brought through already, like Anthony Hartigan, has definitely got better. Paul Callum Bailey looks at it has improved. Toby Sibbick is getting better and better. And
I saw some stats flying around the other day. Toby Sibbick's kind of contribution, and it was I can't say it was just a tweet, which it's not in front of me, but it basically highlighted what an incredible impact he had had.
Yeah.
Over the course of the last over a number of games.
Yeah.
Was this a matter of Toby Sibbick just being in a side that's performing well, or has he been one of those standout performers?
No, I wouldn't say that he's been one of the standout performers. No. However, what I have noticed, the difference between Tenno Watson and Toby Sibbick is that Toby Sibbick is considerably more verbal to the midfielders in front of him to help him in situations, whilst Tenno was much more, for want of a better word, meek, a bit more quieter, a bit more introverted, and wouldn't necessarily shout. And he's not one of those. Toby, you see, is one of those who would certainly, even though he's still a young guy, he wouldn't have a problem coming up to another player and just kind of by hook or crook grabbing by the scruff of the neck and go, "You didn't help me there." Whilst I could never ever see Tenno Watson do that.
Mm.
Because I think he would.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's one of the problems of having loan players.
Yeah.
That lone players possibly don't fit in as well. They don't feel that they
you can't say that about Seddon.
No, not all of them, because Steve Seddon and Aaron Ramsdale have done great jobs. But you look at some of the other lone players, I don't think Jake Jervis really fitted into the whole club ethic, let alone the way
Isn't it just a matter of who just gives a hoot?
Yeah, it does. And Tenai Watson cares, there's no question about that. But if you look, Toby Civic did a good job in being around and being reliable and fitting in when he was needed. He would be left out of the team, come in, did a decent job, left out. Tenai Watson had an absolutely shocking game against Sunderland.
Yeah.
And then Toby came in and has kept his place ever since. And I think Toby's been fortunate in that the other player who's competing for his position had a bad couple of games, but he's done well in the fact that he's been consistent. I don't think I've mentioned Toby Civic as a man of the match contender at any point this season.
No.
But he's done, other than a couple of high-profile mistakes, he's been decent. Again, he's only just turned 20 himself.
Exactly, yeah.
You look at our back four, he's 20. Aaron Ramsdale's 20. Aaron Ramsdale's younger than my eldest son. He's just 20. Seddon's 21. So Will Nightingale's only, 23 and 24. Terrell Thomas is 22. Callum Bye's a teenager. Rob McDonald's the eldest one at 26. He's the oldest player we've got.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. But it's a good point about the average age of the side being brought down. But they seem to have the average age of the side has been brought down, but into a group of players who get on and respect each other, which does actually make a difference. It's not like those trivial things. They don't have to go out and have a night out with him and be mates with them, but they seem to have there's something there.
Oh, it's massively important.
I mean, it's also see it because the
you've
fact
got to
that,
be mates.
Well, yeah. Not only that, there was also before this radical change and wholesale change of the team, the starting 11 and everything. There was this air of arrogance to a certain degree within our team of, you know what, we're kind of strolling in here, we'll still lose, but I don't care kind of thing. Whilst now it's...
We're very louche, weren't we?
Ooh, lovely word. Thank you. I like it. Good job. Well done. Can I have a dictionary, please?
Yeah.
So, there was that air of arrogance. I'm going to point it at the wardrobes when they were in our midfield. You know, they had that air of, we did play Championship and Premier League even at one point, football. Mm. We're better than this. And you could even say to a certain degree, Kwesi Appiah as well, up front, he's got a bit of that air of arrogance about him. I think he actually is still protruding that a bit at the moment. However, as what Kevin just alluded to, with the younger group coming in, certainly in the defensive half of the midfield, defensive half of the pitch, they're a young core group of players who really have the bit between their teeth. They've got the passion for the game, which is vital. Mm. And they want to actually, they're young, right? They want to progress in their future with the rest of the players. They're coming to the end of their careers. They don't give two hoots anymore. These young guys are thinking, you know what, if I do a really good job, save Wimbledon out of relegation, who knows what the next step is? Who knows what kind of scouts are going to be out there? Who knows, maybe I might even make it into the Championship and then make the next step from there on in.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Got no problem with that. As long as we get a blooming transfer fee for it. Yeah. Please.
Kevin, hold your thoughts. We need to take a break. It's Love Sport Radio. This is the FC Wimbledon Fan Show.
This is Love Sport.
I can't help but notice my tweets have dried up.
Mm-hmm. You can get cream for that.
Oh, that was a clip of me earlier.
Yeah, it was.
And you, Kevin.
Yes.
And we're still here.
Remarkably quick, wasn't it?
Yes. Thanks to that producer, David. I had no idea that was being played. I was having the countdown of my year one, two, audio playing.
And there you are.
And here I am talking about my creams.
In your own ears.
Let's talk about something different, though.
Shall we?
Two pictures in front of me.
Ah.
And they are pictures of the AFC Wimbledon club badge.
You do. Well,
why do
they're
I
not
have this?
Yet.
No. Well, I mean, they could be.
They could be.
I mean,
okay.
It is an AFC Wimbledon badge.
It is.
But is it the real one?
Not yet. So no. here's the thing. I mean, people may know this already, but the club have said that due to issues of reproduction and merchandising, and I think this is also going for fake goods, etc. Mm. The fact that our... So basically, the crest that we have, the double-headed griffin, I believe it's a griffin, is the crest of Merton Council. So it's the Wimbledon crest, if you like. Okay? So it's in a shield. I'm told that's what those things are called, shields. With the current badge has AFC above the shield at the top and Wimbledon above. below the shield at the bottom. So the point of this is that that is apparently difficult to reproduce when it's in yellow and other things. Maybe Puma, our kit supplier, may be putting some pressure on. Don't actually know that, but I can see that could be a thing. So the Don's Trust board have put forward two alternative badges. Now, all they are in way of difference is the same crest, the same shield, but with AFC Wimbledon in one line at the top of the shield, which apparently makes it a lot easier to reproduce for merchandising, for correct merchandising, but harder to fake. Not quite sure about it. In terms of printing, I can see that it's a lot easier to use. And the one of the AFC Wimbledon's is blue, and the alternative is black. So that's the choice we've been given. So we've been asked, please vote which badge you prefer. Now, what's going to happen is, because those badges will only appear on the new shirts from next season, or the season after. They're going to appear on everything that we do. Of course, maybe the side of the new stadium, they'll have a badge, maybe even etched into the concrete, who knows. But it needs to be done in time for the new stadium. However, you also have an option of, I don't like either of these. You can go A, the blue one, B, the black one, C, neither of these. From what I am led to believe, C, neither of these, will win the vote by some distance.
Can I ask why? Because I have A and B here in front of me, and neither seem particularly offensive.
No, it's not that they're offensive. I think it's the fact that it's...
No, but we've had, over the last few years, think of West Ham, think of Leeds...
Oh, the Leeds one was terrible.
Exactly. Yeah. So the problem is with me, I find the whole badge change thing silly, because I don't know of any fan of any football club who's ever said, do you know what, we really need to change our badge. And I think it's just dangerous, because the likelihood is the only people who are going to comment are the ones that don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this has become a thing where clubs are redesigning their badges. But this one isn't particularly different or changed. So why would C, the other option, be the one that's kind of
so
the likely winner
C,
here?
Neither of these will then open up, we believe, the chance of people to submit their own. Okay.
Okay.
So this badge, the original badge, was designed very, very quickly in 2002. And it was like, this is okay.
Yeah.
And then it's been absolutely fine. No criticism of the badge whatsoever. I'm a bit ambivalent about the whole thing, as long as the branding stays the same. But people are saying, okay, for the 2021 season, we'll have a new kit, we'll have a new ground.
Mm.
It's a great chance for the club to do something interesting and vibrant and whatever. And we've been given a couple of badges that look very similar to the previous one. Fans have submitted on Facebook and various other social media platforms.
If you're not on Twitter?
Oh, I get sent stuff. I get sent screenshots from people, don't worry. But on Facebook, people have sent badges, and the badges that people have sent in have been really, really good.
Yeah.
One of the guys that the podcast team collaborate with, Adrian Hother, sent a really, really nice badge. He designed a fantastic kit as well, and he designed a lovely badge. There's been three or four other badges. I would say there's been about seven or eight badges sent in so far, all more interesting looking than those two. I think those two options is just a bit dull, and it's a chance to do something new and interesting. There's a nice yellow and blue one, or yellow and blue around the outside.
So do you want to change?
I don't. I understand from the merchandising and printing and reproduction point of view that there has to be.
Why?
Yeah, I'd say if you have to, then I would do the absolute bare minimum. Because that is the least risky option. And when it becomes to a club badge, I think it's absolutely the right way to do it. Because
someone took the mick by taking the Leeds United one of the fist over the chest.
Yeah.
But we laugh, don't we? But this could happen.
Oh,
you know,
this could happen. That would never happen with us.
Apparently they surveyed over 30 million people, remember? Leeds,
yeah.
Yeah?
The crest will appear. The council crest. Yeah. Of the grubble-headed griffin will stay. So it's not a fundamental badge. It's tweaking. It's kind of like the decoration around the outside, the furniture, as they call them in the printing game. It's an emotive subject, because people are really... It's as emotive as the AFC bit.
I know
you don't care.
I really, but
many people do, and I think it's interesting.
He doesn't care. No, I can tell.
That's fine. But I understand from a merchandising point of view. Mm. It's a difficult thing. And obviously, we work with people from the merchandising team. It's a... Tweet in. Tell us which badge you like the best.
Yes. The options are there. I would love to have a little
just bringing
look.
Up the subject.
No, and thank you.
But
it
also, it's going to be a subject because, as people may know, the 9 years podcast are now doing daily updates. The new daily updates and the badge conundrum will be included in that, I believe.
Okay, we need to take a break. It's the FC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio.
Love Sport.
Okay, welcome back. Love Sport Radio, the FC Wimbledon Fan Show. There's music and also backing vocals from Cagney.
Yes.
Cagney in the corner over there. Mark Hendricks and Kevin, not on Twitter, Bodas, are with me for another half an hour this evening. We will, of course, look forward to your next game in League One, which is against Oxford, and a reunion with an old foe. We'll be joined by an Oxford podcast in around 10 or so minutes' time to get his views.
I'm not allowed to talk about him. Last time I talked about Robinson here, I was actually dumped.
Were you dumped?
Yes. So,
really? Yep. Like, genuinely?
Yeah.
I mean, in my time here...
I'm going to leave it all to you, Kevin.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do it.
I don't think you've ever been involved in a dumping at Love Sport Radio. Yeah. And you've been dumped.
Uh-huh.
Wow, you must really dislike this man.
Uh-huh.
We shall say no more, right. Because I don't want to be responsible for another dumping. Yeah. Let's talk about the current situation with regards to your league position, kind of a bit more lightly, before we kind of get stuck into the nitty-gritty of the fixtures and this actual game itself against Oxford. So the situation that we find ourselves in right now, 5 games to go, so close to mid-table, but also at the same time, still in relegation. Mm. Are you, in a strange way, actually enjoying the season or the situation right now? Because it's a question, because you are still very much in danger of relegation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're fourth bottom. Yeah. But it's a lot better than it was a few weeks ago. Maybe, I said, normally, if you're 5 games to go, you're 13th, 14th, you're probably going to only finish around that kind of position. You probably think it's a bit dull. But it's got the season kind of peters out a bit. This season's not going to peter out.
No,
of course, mid-table is not safe now. You look at, I did some research. So I looked at the fixtures for the bottom 9 teams that we've got left.
And you have provided the paperwork I have in front of me.
Thank you very much, Kevin. 2 of the bottom 9 have 4 of the bottom 9 left to play in their final 5 or 6 fixtures, which is extraordinary. I think it's Rochdale have got Accrington, Wickham, Bristol Rovers and Southend to play. Who else had 4? Southend have got a couple. Wickham have Southend, Rochdale, Walsall and ourselves to play.
Yeah.
Of all the bottom 9... Scunthorpe have the hardest run in because they've only got 1 of the bottom 9 left, and that's Bradford. So you look at Accrington, have got a couple. We've got 2, I think. Have we got 2? We've got Bristol Rovers. Oh, 3. We've got 3 of the bottom 9 left to play. So everyone's got... There's no one's got a really nice run of fixtures. No one's got teams nothing to play for. Because in this division this season, no one has got nothing to play for. Everyone's... From 11th upwards, you can get in the playoffs. And from 11th downwards, you can go down.
Yeah.
Which, are 5 games to go, is absolutely ridiculous.
I found online quite a fun little bit, which was the website's called thefishy.co.uk. And if you just Google thefishy.co.uk football calculator, it will then come up with, you're able to put in which teams you want to choose the results from.
Yeah.
And then it will come up with the final table. So I only chose from Gillingham down, 13th, I think it was, down to the relegation spots. And I was going on just on gut feeling of where everyone's going to get points or draw, win, lose, however.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was really interesting to see. So I threw it out to the podcast group and quite a few of us just did it and then did a screenshot of the final table and where we believe, obviously, we're all biased. Obviously, no one had Wimbledon go down. But it was quite interesting to see that out of it, everyone said Bradford was going down. I think most of us said Rochdale will be going down. And then it was a toss-up, really, between Walsall, Accrington,
the rest of
Southend. Southend, yeah, exactly. Walsall, no, Walsall was pretty much also universally said that they're going to be going down.
I thought Scunthorpe had the heart of a hard... I wouldn't want to be in Scunthorpe's position. They've only got 2 more points than us, and they've got a much more difficult run.
Plymouth also, they're falling like a stone all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And yet, 3 weeks ago, everyone said Wimbledon are down. Mm. Plymouth are up. They're fine. Now, look at it. It's just a wonderful situation to be in
I agree. I saw some, I'm not sure if you saw it during the week, of the stat within the Premier League, that none of the bottom 3 had taken a single point from the top 6.
Yeah.
A single point.
Yeah.
And I must say, Damon got the identical relevant for League One, but I can guarantee you it's not the same. And as you say, you're going through these fixtures and trying to pick these results. And within the Premier League, by and large, it's significantly more straightforward to do.
It's two leagues in one.
It's more straightforward to do, isn't it, than League One. And regardless of the huge gap, the results aren't as consistent for whatever reason it is, but it does make it for a far more enjoyable thing. Yeah. Now, looking at your fixtures as we have here, how enthused are you by having Bradford as your final fixture? Because as things stand, of all the possible scenarios, it is more likely than any other that Bradford will be down at this point.
Yeah.
Payback.
Yeah.
For 2000, yeah.
Yes, that's what it is. It's payback. That's for me. I'm not enthused because Bradford have always caused us problems. But on the flip, for me, it's absolute payback. If we need to win to stay up, irregardless of... Just for you, Kevin.
Thank you.
No, without taking any other results into consideration, we must win. End of story, we're safe. So if we're above the fall line before that match and we've just got to win full stop, it is absolutely written in the stars for me that it's payback. We deserve to actually get something from Bradford because they're going to be down by then. And look, just do us a favour for 2000, please.
You've also got the fact that, yeah, maybe Bradford will be down by then. I would rather have that that fixture. Southend's last fixture is Sunderland at home. If Southend have to beat Sunderland at home the last game of the season, I wouldn't put a penny on
that. And if Sunderland have to win to nick the place from Barnsley.
If you look at the last games of the season, Rochdale have Charlton away. Wouldn't fancy that.
Horrible.
But Charlton will be in the playoffs. They won't be able to drop out and they won't be able to get in top two.
Yeah, but they've still got, let's be Stu's favourite guy, Lyle Taylor, Mr. proud player. If he won't hold back.
You've also got the idea that the team that finishes obviously third or fourth have home advantage. They probably want to finish fourth if they can squeak over there.
But I'd rather be playing a team playing for third or fourth so they've got home advantage in a playoff than one fighting for automatic promotion.
Exactly.
So do you know what I mean? My point is that of all the fixtures, I'd rather be playing Charlton than I would be...
Yes. But going into the playoffs, do you not want to be on a momentum?
Of course, it goes without saying. It goes without saying, but it gets to the point in this stage of the season where it's much harder playing a team in 20th than it is in 14th, despite the fact that the team in 14th is clearly better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are so many kind of different things you need to look at, isn't it, this stage of the season? And say, playing against AFC Wimbledon, where Bradford would be thinking, if we need a win, they're looking at the league fixture, well, you're close to us, that's a more winnable game. Well, actually, that's significantly harder than playing Plymouth, if by this point they're in mid-table.
It's a funny old game.
Yes.
I mean, look at
crazy.
Accrington's last game of the season, away at Portsmouth. Now, you could think maybe Portsmouth would need to win that to go up. I think that's a tough one.
I'd imagine they'll still be in a chance of getting an automatic place by then.
Nah. Bristol Rovers' last game? Nah. Barnsley. Barnsley at home.
So, Mark's calling it for us. any other ones and Mark's going to predict it? Walsall, they've got Shrewsbury in the last game of the season.
Wickham are at home to Fleetwood last game of the season.
I hope someone's jotting this down. According to Mark, everyone's gone down.
But we do have a good...
I really do believe it's going to come up to the end of the last game of the season.
I think it will.
And I think we're going to be...
One of eight or nine teams that could go down.
Yeah,
I think it will be.
It's going to be excellent for Sky Sports.
Yeah,
it will.
They're roving reporters.
Absolutely, of course it will.
I'd hate to be the director on that one, though.
No.
Oh, there's been a goal there. Oh, no, there's been a goal there. Oh, there's been a goal there. And they're all going to be flying in, and it's going to be chopping and changing. I mean, it's great when it's three teams up on simultaneously, but could you imagine having... three matches.
There could easily be seven or eight games.
I tell you who would not be the director of that day. Did you see the post-match stuff with Southampton and Liverpool?
No.
Oh, gosh,
when they walked away.
It won't be the director who told Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville as soon as Kenny Cates asked that question to walk away.
That was so
Kevin,
funny.
Because you're not on Twitter, you haven't seen this.
I have not, no.
We will show you during the break, but yes, he will not be the director because
I know who the director was.
Well, I'll say no more. It's Love Sport Radio. When we come back, we'll speak to an Oxford fan, an Oxford podcaster ahead of that game with AFC Women, of course.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Welcome back. So I've just been showing Kevin that video during the break, and Mark's trying to explain why it may have happened. But regardless, it was somewhat humorous, and it's been viewed, this one at the top, 21.6 million times. So Yes.
21.6
But that's just one of the versions of that video. So I would actually say maybe a billion times viewed on Twitter that...
I've watched it at least 10 times.
That manoeuvre by Karen Neville at St. Mary's. Anyway, let's turn our attention...
Give him the credit of the fact that they were choreographed perfectly for
it. Oh, it was
they
beautiful.
They both walked off at the same time.
Beautiful, strange...
Literally quite holding hands.
Magical,
it was beautiful to see. Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher sitting in a tree.
It will never happen again, I'm sure.
Absolutely
I'm sure.
not.
Anyway, Simon Hathaway, committee member for Oxford United Supporters Trust and podcaster at the Fence End Pod, joins us on the phone now. Simon, a very good evening. Thank you for speaking to us this evening.
Thanks for inviting me.
Not a problem whatsoever. So, look, Oxford sitting pretty in 12th.
We are, yes.
You're not involved in this. I'm not even sure how to describe it, but you're not involved in what's happening beneath you, are you?
I think with yesterday's 3 points, no. I think we're now not mathematically safe, but I think with the number of define this, you've got to start at the top of the table now rather than working up from the bottom, and that's the first time that's happened this season. So yeah, I think we're not mathematically safe, but I think there's so many teams down there now that I think we're realistically, I don't think we're going down.
I've
probably jinxed it now.
Simon, we're just saying actually before we got you on about sometimes it's easier to play teams in certain positions at this part of the season. As you mentioned, you're feeling pretty safe now. The players were probably feeling the same as well, because for large parts of the season as well, Oxford were in the relegation zone. So to find yourself at this point now must feel pretty good. Flip-flops on, thinking about the summer break and preparing for League One next season.
But
in a strange way, is this a good time for AFC Wimbledon now to be playing you?
Possibly. I think, the fans, perhaps the players, hopefully, they won't be complacent on Saturday. But you kind of think that mentally they will have felt that they've now achieved safety. And you're right. It could be a perfect time to play us, because you've obviously done a similar thing to us in being, awful all season and then hit a run of form just at the right time whilst other teams are hitting bad form. You're hitting good form and catching them up.
Yeah, Simon, it's Mark here from the 9 Years podcast.
Hi, Mark.
Just a quick question for you, because I remember when you guys came down to ours and it wasn't a very pretty game, I've got to be honest with you. Do you think that the change of fortunes for Oxford has taken place since the time that Ricky Holmes left the club? Because from what I saw, Robinson was always trying to play the game through him.
Yeah, a little bit, and he had a tendency, perhaps as well, good player, but to try and do everything a little bit on his own, and it, not just that, but that we played you sort of end of September. Somebody recently put up a stat that if our season had started on the 6th of October, we'd be in sixth place at the moment, and that more or less coincided with Simon Eastwood, the keeper, coming back in. He had a bad sort of finger injury right at the start of the season, missed a lot of the early the early games up until about October, and since he came back we've been a decent sort of playoff form team. So I think it's a bit of a little bit of Ricky Holmes, but I think more for Oxford fans, I think looking at the form of Simon Eastwood.
Are you happy that you kept on with Robinson, because there were calls for his head, weren't there?
There were, he's obviously, for Wimbledon fans, he's a bit more of a divisive figure than he is for Oxford fans.
To say the least,
And I can kind of see, obviously, not just the connection with that team over in Milton Keynes, but the whole sort of, the way he is. I think he's a manager that, like some players, you hate them when they're not your manager, but if he's sort of winding up the opposition, it's okay because he's your manager. But there are times when he's come out with stuff that I think we as fans have kind of thought, what are you talking about? And he is very divisive with amongst our fan base. There's a lot who really don't like him, but then you kind of look at, okay, well, maybe we've had some injury issues and whatever, and obviously some sort of well-documented sort of ownership issues and money issues, that you think perhaps he's not done an awful job. Maybe you stick with him rather than starting again in the summer with a new manager. You stick with him and let him develop the team, which he's, since sort of Christmas, it's been decent.
Yeah. Hi, Simon. It's Kevin here.
Hiya.
Do you think, obviously, you've won five in a row now, haven't you? So your keeper's come back in, and Eastwood's come back in and made a difference. But has your formation changed as well in the last few games? Because you were down there with us for large parts of the season. All of a sudden, everyone kept thinking, is one team going to get out of this? It's probably going to be Oxford, because you do have the players to... You're not a bottom four squad, definitely not. And then now you're kind of proven, and that's the case. So what's been the catalyst? I'm not saying you're wrong, but it can't be just having your keeper. Was it Mitchell was your keeper before that, or you came in? Jonathan Mitchell wasn't not quite as good as Eastwood. But is a formation change, or is a bit of fortune as well? I mean, that does play a big part.
The formation, he's very much stuck with a sort of 4-2-3-1 with a lone striker. I think it's a number of sort of little things all kind of gradually conspiring to put us in a position where we're playing a lot better. You know, Jamie Mackey up front, when he started the season, was clearly not fit. Now, I think a lot of fans would love for him to be here next season. You know, he's not a massive goal scorer, but as a man, you know, a one-up top player, he's ideal, because he never gives the centre-halves a moment's peace. We've also had, you know, a back four now who've played probably the last six or eight games together, rather than sort of we've had odd injuries here and there. So it's been a bit more of a settled side for the last couple of months, and sort of some players coming into form or sort of just sort of showing what they can do. We've had one or two younger lads on loan, you know, the likes of Jordan Graham and Marcus Brown, who are talented players who perhaps aren't always, you know, not going to be consistent. But they've been a bit more consistent recently. So I think it's a lot of things. I think the Simon Eastwood thing, if you look at it from our fans' point of view, I think he's made a big difference, though.
Simon, just before I ask you for a prediction and we need to let you go, is that the Jordan Graham who was at Wolves?
Yes. Yeah, we had him on loan for about four games two or three seasons ago, and he was brilliant. And then he's gone off to Leeds, to Wolves, sorry, and Ipswich on loan, and it's never really happened for him. But since he's come back to us, he's playing more regularly, and it's something we did under Appleton with the likes of Kimar Roof. You know, he was a player who'd been on loan here and there, never really took off, and then we had him for sort of half a season on loan, and then a year as a you know, one of our players, and he's now at Leeds and doing brilliantly for them. So I think that's something as a club our size we need to do more of. Look at picking up players from Premier League or big academies who aren't going to make it into their first team and giving them one step back to take two steps forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the only reason I ask. I remember him playing for Wolves, if he was the same name, and remember thinking how good he was. And then it was a cruciate knee ligament injury, wasn't it? And quite a long way out. And it's nice to see he's returning back to some kind of form. Simon, just very quickly then, mate, let's have a score prediction then for you, Oxford AFC Wimbledon this coming weekend.
Do you think you're going to get the sixth in a row? Do you?
I think a draw. I think your form is good. Our form's been good. I think a draw. I think we'd be happy with that, certainly.
Okay, I think. I'm not sure if we'd quite be happy with that.
Yeah. Depends if you follow up with a win the week after.
Absolutely. Yeah. Simon, thanks for your time this evening, mate. Really appreciate it. That was Simon Hathaway there, committee man, Fox United Supporters Trust, and podcast at the Fence End Pod. Just coming into the final 10 minutes of this evening's show. It's a very, very enjoyable one. Yes, it's nearly that time. It's AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Please do stay with us. 10 minutes left.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Right, chaps, before I get your views on this game coming up, Kevin, there was an important bit of news regarding the 9 years, which you briefly mentioned before eight, but we didn't quite do it properly. So do you want to do it now before I forget, before the end of the show?
I'm going to loosely use the term we. The 9 years podcast are now producing daily news updates via the 9years podcast website, 9yearspodcast.org or 9yrspodcast.org. So we're doing daily news. So instead of just waiting for a whole week, or the only day we don't do news,
bite-sized news.
The only day we don't do news is Saturday, because you've got your football fix. But there's five or six stories every day of League One stuff, relevant stuff to the club, about the badge or about a consultation or whatever, but also a League One. I know the other day Dean Keats being sacked at Walsall, that's made it in the news. It's that kind of stuff. So it's relevant League One news.
Stuff that will affect us in one way or another.
Exactly, yeah.
Perfect.
But from the place you expect to get it, from 9wirespodcast.org.
And I said it's bite-sized stuff, so it's stuff that you can just quickly throw on your phone whilst you're on the commute back home. Hopefully it'll be up by around that time.
Yep.
You know, so that you can just have a quick little 5-minute glance. That's what we really wanted to do. 5-10-minute glance tops, so that you don't have to read article upon article. You know.
Okay. Yeah. You guys are off to the Kassam next Saturday.
We are, the three-sided Kassam.
Do we have to pay their rent?
You can do whatever you want, Mark.
I'm off to Ibiza.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am actually.
Oh, we'll talk about that in 5 minutes' time. Yeah. Once the show finishes.
I'm going. Yes.
You're going to Ibiza.
No. I'm going to Oxford. I'll be going to Oxford.
Going together.
Yeah.
Cagney and Lacey in Ibiza.
No, we'll be
there's a film.
There is a film in there somewhere,
isn't there? By In Between is movie 3. Yeah.
In Between Cagney.
I'm somewhat upset I've not been invited on this trip.
No, honestly, I'm going to Oxford. No.
Okay, you are going to Oxford. Simon, yes. Our Oxford fan, just predicted a one or draw. That's not enough for you, is it?
No, we need
to
win.
You want more?
We need to win. Yeah.
We're much better on the road as well.
We've done very well. We've won 4 of the last 6 away. And then, of course, the away game after that, of course, is Luton. So if Luton continue their unbeaten run, that could be a 31st unbeaten game. I'm not a fan of Luton, the place particularly. I'm not a fan of Luton's ground particularly. I don't particularly like the walk from the station to the ground. That's rather unpleasant. Bridge.
You're going to balance this out now with 3 positives, though, aren't you?
No. And also, I'm only 5'9", but those seats cut into my knees. So if you're Mark's height or you're 6'3 or 6'4", how you sit at Luton's behind the ground, the goal, I've no idea. So it's not an experience I particularly want to repeat, but unfortunately I can't make it anyway. I could have gone had it been Easter Monday. Now it's Tuesday night. I can't go. However, that's a tough one. Isn't it? Is what you were saying earlier on about playing a team with nothing to play for. They could be up by then. That could be their promotion party. A win could set. Maybe the pressure might be on them. So maybe if there is a good time to play a team that's been unbeaten for 31 games, maybe that's it.
Hmm.
But it's not an away game I'm looking forward to. So I do think we have got to beat Oxford.
Yeah.
We've only won next week, Jake.
Well, this is the thing. I've got some exciting news.
Okay. You're not here.
I'm not here next Sunday.
Ooh.
I'm on another football sabbatical.
Are you?
I'm in Lisbon this time, next Sunday.
Nice. Right.
Which is of no real importance.
Watching a match.
Yeah, yeah.
Stadio de Luz?
Nice. I'm going to the Stadio de Luz.
Benfica.
Nice. Stadium of Light.
Have you been to the Dragão, Porto?
I've not.
Oh, that's phenomenal. The Dragão is beautiful.
I'm going to Porto in June.
Oh, yeah. The Dragão is something else.
Yeah, I'm going to I've got UEFA Nations semi-finals and finals tickets on there. Nice, anyway, nice. I digress. Great, I'm not here next Sunday, which means that I have an unbeaten record following the game from the weekend when I'm not here. So, at the very least, you will get a point.
Let's hope so.
You will get a point at the Chasm.
Don't say this
now. No, no, no.
But I don't know who we've got.
Such confidence.
You
such
will.
Verve.
You will.
We will. Okay.
You
Nick,
will.
Nick hasn't told us who's doing next week's show, so I'm not sure who it's going to be. But
I think it's you and Hannah, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know.
Hannah,
are you listening? Quickly tweet
Hannah,
us
are you on next week? Let us know.
On next week.
Well, Nick's not listening, so he can't tell us.
That's true. Exactly.
No. He's boycotted us.
Mark, do you think you'll win this game? Are you confident?
I'm going to be watching on iFollow. I have a 100% record on iFollow.
Yes. We cannot fail.
Yeah, it's got to be a win. Has to be a
win. At least, sorry, I should say that we've got 100% record on iFollow on matches that have had a constant streaming.
Okay.
When I've had interrupted streaming, that was only one match, and that was against Blackpool away, which we lost 2-0. Mm. And the iPad just kept crashing. But that was internet problems.
Very quickly, chaps, before I get score predictions, any major changes from the team?
Bring McLaughlin in. Please bring McLaughlin back
for
in.
For who?
For Wagstaff.
Even though he was man of the match?
Yeah.
Can't get dropped.
No, man of the match was Seddon.
Seddon was man of the match. Yeah.
But Wagstaff played well.
Yeah.
No. I
Kevin.
I would keep it as it is. I'm not... Obviously, if Steve Seddon is unfit...
Yeah.
Then you bring Terrell Thomas back in and then play Rob McDonald left wing back. I think that would be the only change I would, if we have to make one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for, as he's not asked me for prediction, I'm going to make one. I think we'll do it. I think I'm going to predict a 2-1 away win.
Wow.
I just think we need, they know they need this win after yesterday. And I think we're capable of producing
Oxford,
it.
Oxford has always been a bogey ground for us.
I've only won there once.
Yeah, and therefore I'm going to say a 3-1 win.
Okay, great. Let's go for that.
I love this.
Yeah, ouch.
But you'll
I'm going to be crushed if it doesn't happen.
You'll be watching from a beach in Ibiza?
No, it's going to be quite cold, actually, whilst I'm over there. No, I don't care. But let me just quickly send once more congratulations to Watford for winning the and getting through to the final of the FA Cup. Congratulations, yes. Watford. I'm very proud for you.
And Nick, enjoy WrestleMania this evening.
Yeah, I'm sure
you
will.
Here we are.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not listening, but pass on the message.
Exactly. I'll tweet him now.
Cagney, Lacey.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Jakey.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I like Jakey.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you again very soon. This has been the AFC Women and Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.